Well, again, it's a great joy to see all of you here this morning, and we thank God for the crowd that was here at 8:45, and we're thankful for each of you being here. So good to see Brother Wayne Hauser back there. It thrilled my heart to see him back, and thank you, Brother Wayne, for being here and his family as well. But it's a joy just to get to see everybody. I'm glad to be at church, even if the rest of you hadn't shown up, but it would have been a little hard to preach to an empty auditorium. I've done it a time or two when we were back in COVID days, but thank you for being here. I went over to Food City yesterday. I had to pick up something, and I had mentioned to the other service, I walked past this car and saw this bumper sticker and had on there something that I know all moms say not to say, but it said S-T-U-P-I, you know, the rest of the word. I don't want to say it because some mom might hear, talk to me roughly after church in the lobby, but see, you're not supposed to say that word. So it said that driver, stupid driver, and whoopsie, I slipped up there. But anyways, I thought, how unkind is that to have that on the back of somebody's car? I figured, you know, a brother put it on somebody's car of theirs just to play a trick on it. And I thought, boy, that's bad. That's really unkind. But then I was walking on in Food City. I thought, well, if they really are that, it's nice to be warned. I mean, it's nice to know who you're dealing with out on the road. And I thought, well, that I guess that's kind of good. And then I was mad again for a while. And then I thought, well, no, they really shouldn't have done that regardless. And so thought about that for a while. But I was coming back out the car, and the car was still there beside of mine. I got a better look at it, and it didn't say that at all. It said student driver. But then I have realized some students are probably, they would qualify as both, and so I thought, well, maybe it wasn't so wrong all the way. But it really pays to read the whole sign. You know, you don't want to go off half-cocked about something. And so I left there and went over to the hospital to see a couple people, and went to the second hospital, went back, and I came out to the car, and this guy jumped out of his car. He was sitting there looking at his phone or doing something, but man, he jumped out of there, and he said, man. I said, man, yeah, how are you? Like he was shocked to see me. I was like, well, I mean, I was trying to think if I knew him. I didn't recognize or just couldn't think of it. And he said, you look like, and he said, you look like everybody ever told you. He named a name, but I forget the name now. And I said, no. He said, have you ever seen Lord of the Rings? I said, no, never have. And I thought, man, that's pretty good. If I look like a movie star. Amy did pretty well for herself, I would imagine. I'm thinking, this is good. Have mercy. She's a lucky lady. On Father's Day weekend, less. And then he said, yeah. And I said, wow, man, that's lucky. I said, that makes my day. But then as I was walking away, he said, yeah, he's the little hobbit on this. So my was way up here, but the Lord will humble you every time. I tell you, you get proudful, and oh, boy, it just comes on down. So listen, regardless who I look like, just I've looked at this face all my life, so it is what it is. So, but I'm glad that I could help us get straightened out on those things. So, what would you look in your Bibles at John chapter 21? I want to preach for a little while about John, the beloved disciple. As you find your place in John 21, verse number 3, we'll look there. I did hear this story about this pastor that went to a hospital to visit, and he had gone there. He heard one of his church members, Marvin, was sick and wasn't doing very well, and so he went there, and sure enough, he was in the hospital and laying there, and so he went up, and he was standing right beside the bed, and he just came over close and wanted to pray with him. Well, the longer he was there, the more agitated Marvin got, like he was allergic to him or something. He just started being real agitated, and he just stood there and prayed, and boy, he's just really going bad. Well, finally, the patient, he motioned for a pen, something he wanted to write, and somebody got him a piece of paper and a book and a pen, and he wrote on there, and he handed out to the pastor, and the pastor reached out and got it, but at that same time, he just expired. Of course, everybody went on. Buzzers were going off and everything. And the pastor just quickly stepped back. And he didn't, without thinking, he put that note in his pocket that Marvin had written. And he didn't even think about it. And sure enough, he was gone. And so he prayed with the family, did what he could. And time went on. And the next day, they talked to him about the funeral. He said, I'll be glad to. And then a day or two or three later, had the funeral. And on that funeral day, he came and was at the funeral home getting ready to deliver the message, talk to the family, encourage them. And he had on the same suit that he had on 3 days before. He happened to put his hand in his pocket there where they had put that note. And he got in there. And he said, boy, wouldn't that be encouraging for the family. The last words that Marvin had put down, I'll be able to share them. And so he said, well, I've got some words. Really, they're from Marvin, the good Christian we come to honor today. And so he laid his paper out there, and he said, I just want to give the words of your dad, of your father, grandfather, whoever. And he looked down there, and he said his last words were, hey, Pastor, you're standing on my oxygen hose. Well, that service didn't turn out like he thought it would, so... Well, John 21, verse number 3, it's not a father's passage, but I want to draw a few points out of John, the beloved gospel's life. Verse 3 of John 21, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. This is Marty Scroggs' life verse. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then said Jesus unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and he did cast himself into the sea. From these passages, these verses, I want to bring to you a message about the Father that God desires. In this passage, the scene was bleak, of course, because you remember now, if you get your biblical timeline right here, the Lord had already gone to the cross. He had been buried, rose again. He'd already appeared to the disciples. Actually, in the chapter previous, you'll see he speaks and addresses the disciples and talks to them. But still, a little bit of depression kicks in on them because now things are kind of back to normal. You remember most of the guys had been fishermen before Jesus called them, and one of these men was John. And so Peter says, I'm going fishing. John, the other guy, said, we're going to go. And regardless of where they should or shouldn't, they just where they went, it was just kind of back to normal. They're troubled in their spirits, and they'd just seen the resurrected Christ, as I mentioned in the chapter previous. But now they're back to, what do we do now? And so as they're fishing, though, a wonderful thing happens. They didn't know it at the time, but in verse number 4, we see the morning was now come. Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples didn't know that it was him. And I want us to draw our attention to John, who was the first one to notice that it's the Lord. Now, whether it was because he knew his frame so well, whether it's because he'd been around him so much, or whether it was just because the Lord gave him that extra just sense to, well, that must be him, I don't know. But I want to pick out a few great characteristics as we look at Father's Day that we can impart in our lives, regardless whether you're a father or not, a lady in here, a child, a young person. I want us to draw 3 points out of these verses, that I believe would be a blessing to us. Father, be with us now as our prayer. Thank you for the time to look into your word. May your word look into us. And I pray that you'd change us in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to see in verse number 7, therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved, it wasn't that the Lord loved John more than the other disciples, but John certainly had a greater love, it seems like, for the Lord than the other disciples. And so I first of all see that John had a love that the others didn't have. He was that one that was always close to Christ. Remember, the Bible talks about him leaning on his breast at supper. He just always wanted to be there close. And the Lord always puts him in the inner circle there, because John was very attentive to what the Lord wanted him to do. You remember as he was on the cross that John was the one that Jesus gave charge of Mary to John to say, take care of her. And what a wonderful privilege that was. And John was this disciple, though, that he had a love that the others didn't have. I read a story of a missionary who had witnessed this mother who was very poor by her frame and by her stature. She obviously was malnourished, but she had a little baby, and both of them poor. And this missionary watched as somebody walked down there, and she was begging for things, and somebody had given a baked potato, a small one, and that lady took that baked potato, must have been cooked to some degree, and had took it, and she'd put that in her mouth and chew it up. And she would take that chewed up baked potato or sweet potato, rather, and give it to the baby like a bird would do. Like a mom would take worms and give to a baby bird, and that mother, without eating any of it herself, just chewed that up and made it digestible for that little one that she loved. Love will make you do so many wonderful things. The Bible talks about love covering a multitude of sins. Certainly we do. We worship the Lord Jesus Christ, who his love drove him to the cross. And so we understand about love. And John has this love for Jesus that the other disciples, they were quicker to just go about their business and go and do the things that they wanted to do and get back into routine, things just as normal. But John has this love, and love is such a powerful thing. And can I say to you today that there's nothing more special, or there's nothing more manly on Father's Day than for a man to love the Lord Jesus Christ as supremely in their life. And there are wives, that would love for their husband to be that man that loves the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all of his mind. And could I convince all of us to have that love for God that surpasses all else, because the Apostle John has this love that others did not have. And I wonder about us, as I gave the silly story about somebody passing. Well, that's going to come for all of us unless the Lord comes and takes us in the rapture before that happens. But what are people going to say about you? What are they going to say about me? Dad loved what? I've done so many funerals, and you've been to so many. Boy, he really loved fishing. There's certainly nothing wrong with that. He really loved the outdoors. Nothing wrong with that. He really loved shopping. There may be something wrong with that. He really loved whatever. And there's nothing wrong, of course. But you as a man, as a father, as anybody in the room, could I challenge you to make sure that your love for the Lord is so fervent and so known that they're going to say at the end of your life, boy, he really loved the Lord. John had a love that the others didn't have. But not only that, I bring you back to verse number 7. When we look at it, he also had a love he had that others didn't have, but he also got to see what others didn't see. Therefore, the disciple whom Jesus loved said, "It is the Lord." And he must have said, "Psst, hey, Peter, it's Jesus. Get your clothes on, boy." I don't know why he was not having on. A lot of stuff in the Bible, you just don't exactly know why, but he said, "Hey, it's the Lord." And I imagine he said, "Andrew, hey, the rest of you guys, it's the Lord." But that love, regardless, I don't know if God just allowed John to see something. Maybe he was just so attentive. Maybe he was looking for the Lord. I don't know. But he's the first one on the scene to recognize the Lord. And we're in the need of today some dads and some husbands and some men that would be able to see some things that others don't see. The deception of the world. Do you know that Satan hasn't changed his tactics? Now, he's changed the specifics of what he gives to all of us, but the same thing he was doing back with Adam and Eve in the garden, trying to fool them as to what God had said, he's still trying to do the same thing today. He's still offering young people a lie of a life that doesn't exist. He's still offering them fame, fortune, pleasure, all of these things, but at the end of the day of what he provides, it always works out into heartbreak. And the wise individual is that one that sees what the world doesn't see. It's that one that gets to view what the Lord is doing in people's lives. It's that astute Christian that sees some landmines out there, sees problems maybe on the horizon. In America, the first marriage that a person has, 41% of those end in divorce. The second marriage, if somebody's married for the second time, it rises to 60%. If the third marriage, the rates go up to about 73% of those end in divorce. So much so that the average length of divorce in America right now is 8.2 years. And the wise individual, the wise father, the wise husband, sees things on the horizon that's going to wreck and ruin a marriage and says, "I'm going to delete that. Or I'm going to add this other thing that will help add longevity and length to my marriage." Speaking about children, somewhere around 2 million, maybe upwards of close to 3 million, depending on what statistics you read, 2 point something million runaways in our nation teenagers running away from home, and to that wise father, may we always be vigilant, looking to see what's going to drag a young person out of my home and go somewhere where they're not safe like they were back when they were at my house. I'm saying this morning that the Apostle John, he got to see what the others didn't see until he cued him into it. And Father, I believe today we need to see what others don't look at. Some people are just buying what the world is selling, and they swallow it hook, line, and sinker and just say, well, if it's on TV, if it's on the internet, it must be true. That must just be a valid way to live, my friend. Can I tell you to be more astute than that? Can I tell you to be more discriminating than that? And to say, wait, some of the things that devil's putting out there looks mighty good, but they lead to a life of destruction. A dad ought to see what others don't see and protect his family. That's what you're there for. Henry Ford grew up in his, what's now Dearborn, Michigan, and most people just assumed that he would go into family farming just like his family had been. But he was always interested in how things went together and how machinery worked and how those things would mesh together. He wasn't the first person to create the automobile, as some people, or make the automobile. He wasn't the first one to do that, as some people think. And he really wasn't the first one that had an assembly line of sorts, but he was the first one that married those two effectively. So much so that every person in the world has heard of Ford Motor Company. But he was somebody who didn't go the path that everyone thought he would, but he saw something on the horizon that other people didn't. Could we not be that way when we notice some things on the horizon that God's involved in, and that we would say, I want to engage in that. I want my family in that. If you read statistics, they can enough of them to drive you crazy. But you know what you're doing right here? If you're married, if you're a father and you're married, you are making the chances of your marriage staying together, you're making them greater by going to church. I'm a pastor, so I love that because I see the value in that. But even statistically speaking, it's more likely that you stay together if you worship together. Because it brings you to seek the Lord. And I'm just saying that John, he saw some things that the others didn't see, regardless of whatever reason. As we get a little application from this passage today, I want us to be those people that see some things out there that others don't see. You got to pray for discretion from the Lord to say, Lord, show me some potholes. As you get Brother Joe over here, he's got that sweet little girl, and Lord have mercy, I'd hate to be the young man that ever wanted to date Brother Joe's daughter. But he's praying. I know him well enough. No, he's praying for wisdom to see the danger signs out there, and praying that the Lord would give him wisdom and gumption to speak up for it. I think we could go all over. I think about Emmett as he runs wild around the home. Well, we're looking for him to that one little redheaded bullet that's around everywhere, Emmett Smith. We're looking for his family. He's looking for things out the road. To say, I don't want that boy involved in that, because dad's got to see some things that other people don't see. And that's God, that's biblical. And so we understand that John had a love that others didn't have, but he also got to see some things that others didn't see. Let me give you this last one. Look at again in verse number 7. He was that one that the Lord Jesus loved. He saith unto Peter, it's the Lord. But then I want you to look down at verse number 12. At this point, John's the only one that's cued into who that is coming over there on the shore across the water. But look, by the time it gets to verse number 12, Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. Not only does the Father see some things, and not only does the Father have that love, but he also brings others to the righteous, godly position. As they were eating with Jesus, none of them says, who is this? As they're getting ready to eat those fish and do that, nobody says, who are we going to eat with? All of them knew at this point somebody had to be the trendsetter, and it was good old John. It was that one that he says, everybody now knows what I knew then. Somebody's got to lead and bring others to that godly position. That happens in business. Steve Jobs was this mega mind person that was the founder of Apple Computers, and he would present things that people didn't even know they needed until after he was done. They said, well, you're right, I do need that, and so made billions of dollars. And I remember, you all remember trends when I was a kid. One of my buddies, he took some Levi's blue jeans and took them somebody and got the bottom parts of them cut in and then sewn back together so they were pegged in. You know what I mean? Now I says, oh, that, why would you want that? That was just the way it was back then. Amy tells me about those jelly shoes, you know, those clear plastic shoes some of you ladies used to wear around. It's kind of like a baby croc. You know, those Crocs that they have now, jelly shoes were the ones they had before them, like these jelly, clear plastic shoes. There's all kinds of things that somebody said, now that would make a great product. Some of them are successful, some of them are not. I remember going down to the basement of my aunt and uncle's house, and my cousin had one of this thing is about waist high. It had this big old metal head here, and then away from that, it had this nylon belt that you put around your waist or your backside, and it just went. It was supposed to shake you to a slimmer you. Now, nobody in that family must have been on it long enough, because it did not bring the results that they all wanted. I was watching TV, and of course you know it's on true, it's on TV. If it's on TV or the internet, of course it's true, right? And so I was watching TV, and as seen on TV, this device, it would just strap on you around your waist, and then it had this pad in the front here. It was a hard pad, and it would just push your gut in. So it said you could be watching TV, and this amazing product was just strengthening your abs. So you could have a remote in this hand, sweet tea in this hand, and have six-pack abs. Because all it did was just continue to compress, and you had to tighten up so it wouldn't kill you. Well, it also didn't work. But on all those products, somebody said, I want to be the trendsetter. I want to be the first one to have it. I want to be the one that steps out in front of everybody else and leads them. I don't know that that's the reason John saw the Lord, but I do know that's the way it played out. He was the first one. And you as a dad, you as a man, you as a lady, you as a teenager, you as a young person, wouldn't you pray for supernatural vision? Not like a superpower, but for God to let you know when there's a path that you ought to be traveling? We ought to want to bring people to our position. Really, that's our job as Christians. I got saved. The Lord Jesus Christ, Lord God, convicted me and saved my soul, and I'm on my way to heaven. I'm supposed to be an influencer, which is a popular word right now, social media influencer. But before social media was even a thing, we're supposed to be influencers. I'm supposed to influence a lost and dying world to come to Jesus Christ. We've been trying to influence people with these buses for years. Go up and down the neighborhoods and bring them to the gospel preaching station right here. We've been trying to influence our neighbors for years. We've been trying to influence our town for years. That godly person sees some things, and like John probably told Peter, it's the Lord. Our life should be explained by us saying, hey, it's Jesus Christ. He wants to save your soul. So on this Father's Day, not only would John have a love that others didn't have, he also saw some things that the others didn't see at first, but then he was certainly glad to bring them to the position that he held before they held it. That's the kind of father that God would have us be. It all starts with a love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Somehow, over our generations in this country, we have found it not manly, not masculine, to be that leader in a church. So much so that every church historian knows that it's more often ladies that are in churches than it is men. Somehow it's our job to go hunt it, kill it, and drag it home. But it's not our job to go pray it out and sing the praise of the Lord and worship Him. Can I tell you, my friend, if you're a man in this room, it is the most godly, manly thing that you can do to seek the Lord and lead your family. I talked about statistics earlier. I don't even want to get into the statistics of how families are so much better off if they have a mama and a daddy at home. And men, we need you to stand and be that man of God that He wants you to be. Our church needs you. Your wife needs you. Your children need you. Your grandchildren need you. Some in here, your great-grandchildren need you. Well, say, Pastor, what can I do? I'm in my late 80s. I'm in my 90s. You can stand faithfully and you can continue to do so that your great-grandkids and however many grands God gives you, you can still be that testimony to them that I preached it when I was young and I did not stop all the way until God took me on. John's a wonderful example in his love, in his looking, and then in his bragging on Jesus. Are you that leader in your life? I challenge you to be the one that loves the Lord. We put so many other things in place of loving Him. But let's one more time buckle up and love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, in all our mind. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be like John and be that one that was always explained by that love. Lord, I pray that we'd be that looking one as well, looking for you. Lord, I pray that we'd be that one that was bragging on you too. Before long, all of them knew that you were there. Maybe they just got close enough to see, but maybe it was just John kept on telling them, it is the Lord. Now, friends, my friends, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If you're here today and you'd like to be that man that God wants you to be, why don't you start by making a commitment to Him? You're a Christian brother in this room today, but you haven't taken the lead in your own life or in your family's life like you should. No time like today to get started. Would you make a commitment to the Lord? You don't have to come to the front. You're welcome to, but you don't have to make a commitment to come to the front. Make a commitment to the Lord. Lord, I want to seek you with all my heart, all my soul, and all my mind. I want to love you supremely. Lord, I want to lead my family. I want to see those things that you've got obstacles to avoid. If that's you, I challenge you, not just for me and everybody. Maybe there's another person in this room, you're not sure that you're saved, not sure that you're on your way to heaven. Would you, in just a moment, step out and come and ask the Lord to save you and come into your heart? Brother Daniel will be right down here in front of the pulpit I preach from. Would love to take a Bible and show you how you can be sure you're saved. It's easy on our part. We've got to receive Christ as our Savior and turn to Him. Wasn't easy on His part. But maybe you need to do that today. Today's the day. Maybe you're here and you're saved, but you've never been baptized. But you need to follow Christ in baptism. You need to do that. You don't do it to go to heaven. You do it to make a stand publicly for the Lord and identify with Christ. Maybe you need to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. We'd certainly love to have you come present yourself for that. Whatever your need is, I challenge everybody not to leave this auditorium until you do what the Lord has led you to do. Nothing more, nothing less. Be that leader. Be that man if you're a man. Be that one that loves and follows the Lord. Bless us, Father, is our prayer. Well, thank you for it all in Jesus' name. If you're able to, would you stand together as our instrumentalists play? If God's speaking to your heart, I invite you to come. Would you step out and come? If you're in need of salvation, my friend, please don't leave this room without getting that settled. if there's some other spiritual decision you need to make, then please, my friend, don't leave without getting it taken care of. Follow the Lord. If the Lord's still dealing with your heart, would you do business with Him? Maybe you don't need to come to the front, but you need to make a commitment right there in your seat. I challenge you to do it. If you need assistance, you need somebody to pray with you, then we're certainly glad to help in that regard. Thank you so much. You may look this way. Well, what a joy to be in church together with you. And again, happy Father's Day. I'll say that one more time before we leave today. And we've got a book for every man in here, 18 and above. So please stop by. It's right in the center of the lobby. And please take one of those. They're free. Just our gift to you. And I know they'll be a blessing to you. If you're a guest with us today, first time or first time in a long time, please stop by guest services. The Stovers will be out there, a wonderful couple from our church. And we'd love to get to meet you. And they've got a gift for you just for being our guest. And if there's anything Amy and I can do for you, please don't hesitate. We'll be out in the lobby. I'm going to ask Brother Joe, would you mind coming to dismiss us in prayer? And we're so thankful for him. God had him here serving him for many years. And now he's in Lebanon area, Lebanon, Tennessee, and so if I'm ever coming through there, as Brother Ball was talking about, if we're ever coming through there and we're going faster than we should, we hope we see him instead of another one of his coworkers. But just because we know him doesn't mean he's going to be nice to us. But I say, Brother Joe, remember that sermon I preached? And so thank you. Why don't you greet everybody and pray for us? Thank you, brother.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your mercy and your grace and your kindness to us, O Lord. We thank you for loving us, and we thank you for sending your Son to us to die for our sins, O Lord. Father God, we thank you for our fathers, and we thank you for the many fathers that are represented here today, O Lord. We thank you for how you've touched their lives and how you used us in a tremendous way, O Lord. We ask that you will continue to strengthen us, help us to take the words that we heard this morning, O Lord, to heart, and help us to just be godly fathers and men that will continue to lead our families and continue to guide our families as you would call us, as you had called us to. Father, fatherhood is a calling, O Lord, on each and every man present today. So, Lord, we don't take it for granted, and we ask that you will continue to use us in a tremendous way. Bless us as we leave. In Jesus' name, amen.